having a lot of fun here this morning at Rosie on Naz. We've talked early in our first hour about rim-to-rim hiking of the Grand Canyon. We talked about trees in the 8 o'clock hour, landscaping hour. We talked about prepping your pool for summer here at the first half of the 9 o'clock hour. We've brought in a special guest, Mr. Bill Goodhart, to talk about homes of the 50s to go along with our article that you'll find in the Arizona Republic today. Folks, those of you that are here often hear about the population explosion of the Phoenix and Tucson market in particular post-World War II. Let me try and put it into words that paint the picture just how big an explosion this was, okay? In 1940, the population of Phoenix was 65,000. Now, that's just about the size Flagstaff is today, okay? 1940, 65,000 people. 10 years later, 1950, the city had doubled. It took 10 years to double to about 110,000. In the next decade, end of World War II, 1950 to 1960, the city of Phoenix grew by 300%. The city of Tucson grew by 400%. In that decade of the 50s, Phoenix went from 110,000 to 440,000. I'm talking city of Phoenix proper, not the metro area. Tucson went from 45,000 to over 200,000. The age of the 50s. Now, that may have something to do with the fact that residential air conditioning came into accepted customary use about 1952.
And see, I think if Phoenix was still 400,000, I could live there.
You could live there.
I could handle 400,000, I think.
Well,
but
it was a nice town when we got here in 65. I want to introduce Mr. Bill Goodhart. Bill, it must have been a nice little town when you got here in the 50s.
Am I on?
You are.
Okay.
You are, yes, sir.
Well, I got here in 1959.
Okay.
So I was a little bit at the end of it.
From where?
From Illinois, and went to school at the University of Illinois, and then got my master's degree in St. Louis under the GI Bill.
Yeah, sure. what a great implement, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Helped
Thank
a
you
lot
for your
in
service.
Romy, now, Bill was very active in real estate, very active in building. Do you want to guess what he was building homes for, what he was selling homes for?
Well, you told
early
me. 60s. You told me, so I would have been way off.
Yeah, way off.
And I'm cheating to answer that.
On good size, nice lots, Bill, what were you selling homes for when you first
$10
got in?
A foot.
$10 a square foot. $10.
You can't get the permit for that now.
You can't even buy the permit for that. So you're buying a 1,200, 1,500, 1,600, 1,800, three-bedroom, one-and-a-half bath home for $16,000, $17,000.
Well, no, mine were...
And that's with a lot.
Yeah, but mine were more like 2,500 square feet.
Yeah, yeah. Yours were not entry level. Yeah. Yours were a considerable grade up.
And I always... I never liked the word custom builder because everybody used that.
Okay.
You know, Ralph Staggs would say he was a custom builder. But I call myself an individualized builder.
Okay. All right.
Because I did individualize every home.
All right. And Ralph Staggs built a lot of good homes. Masonry.
Oh, yes, he did.
Masonry homes. Hugh Cannell. Del Webb.
Probably Frank Cannell and you were together then.
Yes, that's right. That's
and then
exactly
they split.
Right. Hugh's boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
John F. Long. I mean, all these homes built in the 50s, they were all masonry homes, weren't they?
Yes.
The great majority.
I don't know of any frame, but there may have been.
Yeah.
And of course, as you and I talked, what changed? The wiring was two wires, remember?
Yes, I do.
No ground.
That's right. We didn't. The National Electric Code didn't introduce three-prong grounds until 1959.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we hear all the time, boy, they just don't build them like they used to. Now, what I've got kind of two sides to that argument.
That's a fair thing. Some things aren't as good as they used to be, but most things are better.
They really are. The science of building has come
yes,
so far.
You know, safety-wise, insulation-wise. I mean, I don't think any homes are single-pane glass now, are they?
I certainly hope not.
Yeah.
At least not in the desert.
Certainly hope not.
I'm sure in the higher mountain country, yeah, there's some cabins that still have.
And, you know, now they're using, you know, not masonry. We were kind of restricted, if you think about it, because we didn't want to go over 8 feet, because to build block or masonry above 8 was very expensive.
Okay.
So that was kind of your thing. That's why you had to add the volume. You went down. You had a sunken living room.
That's right.
Oh, the big thing, sunken living
room. Oh, sunken living room. And then, of course,
the conversation pits.
The conversation pits. And then how about the sunken garden master tub?
Oh, yes.
There's been more legs broken those garden master tubs than there have been on the soccer field. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, we've got Lou who's calling in with a 1950s home. Let's see if we can field a question from the callers here. Lou, good morning. This is Rosie.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, really good. What? Where are you? What part of the state are you in?
In Phoenix. I've got a ranch house that was built in 1951 near 19th Avenue in Osborne.
Okay.
And I wanted to share a piece of advice for anybody that's thinking about or currently owns a house built in the 50s in that area.
Okay.
My advice is have your sewer line inspected by a plumber with a camera. Because apparently back in the day, somebody thought it was a good idea to use compressed tar paper for sewer main lines.
Yeah. Oh, that was tough.
Oh, man. That is so true, Lou. It's important. Those are some of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Bill. I mean, we don't build them like we used to. Are they better or are they worse? And like I say, it's a two-sided conversation.
Yes, because, you know, now the Roto-Rooter man has to deal in the older homes because the new homes hardly ever stop up.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're nice plastic, smooth, and nothing, and roots don't know they're there.
And these sewer lines that Lou's talking about, and that's over in the Kristown, you know, Bethany area, it really was. It was asphalt impregnated cardboard made into a tube to carry your waste away from the house.
Is he north of of the Bethany home or south?
I'm south, yeah, between Thomas and Indian School.
Okay, all right.
Thomas and Indian School.
So we went from that cardboard wrap, then we went to clay.
Right, clay tile.
The joints leaked horribly.
With joints, yeah.
Yeah, the trees found the joints quicker than you could bury the line almost. But other things that have changed a lot, that we don't build them like we used to. We're building a lot more frame homes now than we're building masonry. I think that's a mistake.
I can't think of a masonry home I've seen go up.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
But yes, we are. And we're going with higher ceilings, either flat or vaulted. And no, insulation is vastly improved.
Vastly improved. A kilowatt hour costs a little bit more than it did back in the 50s.
Yes,
they're a little bit more precious than they were.
Yeah.
But wiring. You were talking about grounding. You know, in the 60s, in the decade of the 60s, we consumed twice the electricity in 1970 that we did in 1960. In one decade, we doubled electric consumption. And we cut electrocutions down by 60%. And it was because of the grounding.
Yeah. Well, and the ground faults.
Do you remember when the ground fault interrupters were
introduced? Nobody knew what the heck they were.
Holy cow. We'd put up a house, we'd put those GFCIs in, and we'd get a call like the next day, the bathroom receptacles are out. They were about as well-received as a low-flow toilet.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, goodness.
And you remember building, and then the first thing that people did now, did you take the low-flow restrictor out of the shower head?
Did you do what?
Did you take the restrictor out of the low-flow shower head? I mean, you had to pick those out, you know. You had to tell the client, look, you're going to have to flush the toilet two or three times. And then most people wanted the GFCI overridden, and we just couldn't do it.
Yeah, and I know. Yeah. But it was heck when they would wire the outside wires into the bathroom to save on the ground fault.
To save on the ground fault, yeah. Exactly. And then aluminum wiring, probably not one of our better ideas over the decades.
Well, it was kind of forced on us because of the war. Wasn't the war going on then?
The copper was just so expensive.
Yeah, you couldn't get it. And I did a couple homes in aluminum, but didn't like it.
Yeah. And you could still buy Connell aluminum homes
that are
still aluminum today. I mean, but they were built to be aluminum.
That's right, and they were okay.
Yeah. How about galvanized plumbing? Lou was talking about his corrugated asphalt impregnated sewer line. Galvanized plumbing was used through the mid-60s.
And it was all overhead.
It was all overhead.
So you'd look up at your ceiling. You didn't know if it was raining out or if you had a leak.
Exactly. And the water was always hot in the summer when it came to your faucet. And then we converted to copper. We brought it all in underground. Made a big difference.
Yeah.
And if you've got one of those 1950s homes, you probably don't have copper unless you've been replumbed. When we installed galvanized, we told people to expect that to last 40 to 50 years. And you know what? You're at the very end of that right now. I would say most of those homes have probably been replumbed by now.
Oh, yeah. But the problem is when they replumbed, depending who did it, they didn't replumb in the wall from the ceiling down.
Right.
So they would have copper in the attic and galvanized down to the outlet.
Yeah. They were trying to avoid fishing that copper down the line. On the topic of plumbing, we don't build them like we used to. One of the industry's poorer ideas, of course, was polybutyl. Did you ever experiment with that polybutyl?
No, I didn't. I stayed away from that.
you're happy you did, didn't you?
But I had to deal with clients that had that.
Yeah, you had to go in and solve a lot of those dilemmas. And then polybutyl was followed by PEX. Now, I tell you, my plumbers, the Rosie certified plumbers throughout Arizona, we have them all across the state. If you poll them and say, do you like copper or do you like PEX? It goes right down the middle. 50% of them will say, I prefer copper. 50% of them will say they prefer PEX. It's so much better than what the polybutyl ever was.
Oh, yes. Didn't that come from Switzerland? From Sweden?
I believe it did, yes.
Yeah. And that's good stuff. Yeah.
That's a good stuff.
Yeah. The connections are your problem.
They are.
With all of these things.
You remember the natural gas moratorium?
Some of my subdivisions that we weren't allowed to put gas in the street.
As I remember, that was through the 80s. I mean, that was when I think APS still had the gas system at that point. They hadn't separated Southwest Gas.
It was APS.
It was APS, had the electric, and they put a moratorium on expanding the natural gas system. So we had all electric neighborhoods going in throughout the county. Yeah.
Which wasn't bad here, but it was strange when they were doing it in Flagstaff.
Yes,
yeah.
Very strange.
Oh, the heat.
Electric heat is very expensive, very, very expensive. When we get back, we're going to talk. I was a framing contractor. I was a framing employee of a contractor, and I can still remember the day we were framing a house up about 56th Street in Thunderbird. This has to be about 1972, and the foreman comes out and drops this box of silver brackets down on the concrete floor and says, this has to be put on every joist. We didn't even know what they were. More with Bill Goodhart when we get back about homes of the 50s. If you've got one, you've got a real pearl. Protect it and enjoy it. We'll be right back.